Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is our Thursday class, dated 22nd September 2022. And let us compose our mind, develop faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bunsis Jiamoni Fo. Namo Bunsis Jiamoni Fo. Namo Bunsis Jiamoni Fo. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivadimi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhamman Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Saranang Gacchami. Tiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Anatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majjhapama Tana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, you can be seated. Then let us turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Paticca Patipa Puja onwards. Patipa Puja, offerings of light. Ganda Sambara Ditena Dipena Tamadang Sina Diloka Dipang Sambutang Pujayami tamonudang ganda sampara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etam kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi butang kusumena nena punena mutena cha hotu mokam pupang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tu no bante paniyam parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante pale parika pitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we shall develop the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance thereon. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami or generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, then sharing and transfer marriage to all beings. May this marriage be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pacha. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. So we shall now off the light so that you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Just relax. body and mind completely relaxed and maintain awareness. Then after that, stabilize the awareness. These are the first three of the four support. Relaxation is most important. You cannot relax, you cannot meditate, you cannot relax, your mind cannot settle down. It's only when you can relax, then both your body and mind will be at ease, able to settle down, to develop the awareness it is. To meditate is to have sati or mindfulness or awareness within. That's why the second support is just aware, or you just maintain awareness. Then the third support is to stabilize the awareness, means maintain awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours you can. Otherwise, you can maintain awareness during your waking moment. It's already very good. And of course, the last support is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. No interference from the thought process. No movement of thought conditioned by memories. So when thought is no longer active, when the aggregates of mind do not arise, that is your true mind, your silent mind. And basically, that is your meditative mind. To meditate is to be in a state of complete relax and maintain awareness within. Ability to be aware, to observe, to understand, to insight into phenomena, and to awaken to the truth and the reality within our home and mind is what meditation is all about. To meditate is to develop awareness to understand what is going on within our home and mind, how we become what we are, how does the mundane mind comes to be, how does heedless living comes to be. Then when we are completely silent and just aware within, we can observe all this movement. We can come to know how mental hindrance comes to be. And through the mental hindrance, how it hinders our mind from entering the meditative state, we will know. Then how we develop habitual tendencies, how we stir our mind, develop the like and dislike, how we attach and cling on to pleasant and good experiences, we can see them, and how we are so conditioned to dislike certain things. And based on our belief system, our tradition, our religious label and belief, we become conditioned into what we are. All this is meditation, when you can see them clearly, understand them clearly. Then you truly develop the wisdom to know who you are, what you are, and how you become the way you are. How fear arises, how emotion arises, how the mind stirs and reacts to sense experience, how we are conditioned into what we believe in. The movement of thought, the way of thought, all this can only be unraveled through the silent mind. In awareness within means the mind that is mindful, aware, without thought. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation, then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner awareness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed, for as long as you can. These are the mind states that can allow you to develop the meditation in the midst of life, the daily mindfulness. According to Lord Buddha, to be in the meditative state, you must train your mind to be heedful. That's why once you are heedful, you are home. So according to Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is very important. The Buddha say heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas you are not able to be heedful, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead, and heedlessness is the path to the dead. Means you don't stand a chance spiritually. You are like dead. You may be conscious of life, you may be living life, or you may be existing through life, but you are not mindful and not aware of life. That's why spiritually you are as if dead. People who don't have heedfulness, they don't stand a chance. That's why meditation is not only about formal meditation. It's not just to develop the inner peace, the inner calmness. It is to train the mind to be mindful, to be aware, and stabilize it so that you can be in this state of constant mindfulness or ever mindful. Then use it to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha, thereby accumulating into heedfulness. So heedfulness is as defined by the Buddha in the Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme mind-free, bond-free nibbana. So to be heedful is to have two components. First is the ever mindful state. Then second component is to use it to meditate, means constantly meditating. So the ever mindful, constant meditating. You combine these two, you are heedful. So this heedfulness is very important. And here, heedfulness means even when you are living life, in the midst of life, in the midst of living, you must have this mind state. Otherwise, you don't stand a chance. If you're only more or less mindful for a while when in the formal meditation, then throughout the day or the rest of the day, you become heedless. Then you don't stand a chance. Heedfulness has to be continuous throughout the day while training. Okay, now we will turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties of devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra gacchantu devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamoggadang. Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta. Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta. Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Iti beso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho. Vijacharana sampanno sugato lokavidu. Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati. Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati. Swakato bhagavata dhammo. Sandittiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pajatang veditabo vinuhiti. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Samicipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Yadidam chattari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho. Ahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaneyo anuttaram puññaṃ khetaṃ lokasāti. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, you all can be seated. And we shall continue with our sharing from this moment. Straight from the heart, unique Dhamma code as spoken by me. Huh? We are at unique Dhamma code number 3. Huh? So page 1, huh? Unique Dhamma code number 3. All these unique Dhamma code, they are very unique and very special. Huh? That's why they are called unique Dhamma code. And the uniqueness lies in the manner in which it has arisen. You need to have deep understanding to come out with all this unique code. All these are straight from the heart of a cultivator, meditator. So when you have the understanding, you can come out with all this unique code. And they are unique is because every of this code actually points towards the true mind, the meditative mind, how to train them, how to develop them. And because there are so many, which means the unique code is unique in the sense that it can be approached from many directions. Then each and every of these code has its own uniqueness, but it points towards the truth, the meditative mind, to develop the understanding of what is meditation. And from all these approaches or unique quotation, if you are attentive, mindful, sincere, you can develop profound understanding. Then you progress very fast. That's why meditation is to be done with understanding, not to be gullible, not to study the thing as knowledge, then try to repeat what people tell you without understanding. So you need to develop the phase one of the Dhammapariyatti to understanding. You must understand what are the essential number, what are the important pointers that you need to understand to develop this teaching, especially meditation. So pay attention to each and every of these unique Dhamma code, then you can develop great understanding. The purpose of me going into this in a manner which is different from last time is because now you need the understanding. It's no longer sharing, so that those who have the understanding or ability to grasp can benefit. But now is to cater for more people so that everyone can benefit. So I will go into the explanation of it. The third quote is, meditation is just the silent mind being aware. Make a note of this. Silent mind being aware. Aware of what? Of what is going on within our form and mind. And to see clearly the truth of the Buddha's teaching, which is Paticchasamuppada, or the truth of dependent origination, clearly. And finally, to see things as they are, via the direct seeing. So this code is very beautiful and very important. So we have to develop the understanding. Okay, I will write it down so that you can see it more clearly on the whiteboard. So first thing first, meditation. So meditation is basically equals to the silent mind aware. So this is the first thing you have to understand. So if your silent mind can be aware, then that is the beginning of meditation. Then the next thing is aware of what? Aware of. So first is to be aware of what is going on within your form and mind, plus to see the truth of dependent origination, to see the truth of dependent origination, or Paticchasamuppada. And this one is basically the 12 links. Then the last one is to see things as they are, via the direct seeing. All these are very important pointers to develop understanding. So here, as you can see, I had to highlight all the important words. First is silent mind. Silent mind being aware. So to be aware is to be mindful before the knowing, before the perception, before the aggregates of mind arise. So aware is just that pure awareness before the knowing. That is what sati is all about. So this one you can say is being aware is to be in the state of sati. Okay. Then after that, aware of what? Aware of what is going on within your form and mind. Okay. Then the next one is to see the truth of paticca samuppada or dependent origination. Means to put it to test, to witness it, to confirm that our mind function in that manner. The whole of the paticca samuppada, the 12 links, you can see them when you are mindful, when you are aware. Then when you see them, you understand clearly how you function as a human being. Then when you understand how you function as a human being, you start to develop understanding of who you are, what you are. And why the Buddha say this five aggregate of form and mind is not what you are. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. It doesn't belong to you. It has the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and ananta. So all this you will understand when you are able to see clearly the truth of paticca-samuppada functioning within your own form and mind. That's why I say you will be able to witness and understand not only how you function as a human being, how your mind stir, how you become emotional, fearful, unhappy, how you develop insecurity, then how you become like lack of confidence, how you develop all the like and dislike, how your mind still and react to sense experience. All this, you will see them. And when you see them, you start to understand how you become like that. How fear arise, how emotion arise, how all the various mind state that condition you into negativity arise, how your wrong thought arise. And they mainly spring forth from the egoic mind, sakkayaditti. So this egoic mind is the main culprit. So this one, the egoic mind, is born of sakkayaditti or self-delusion. And because of self-delusion, we believe we exist. When we believe we exist, then the personality arises. So this self-delusion gives rise to the ego, the personality, which is the I, the me, and the mind. So these three entities condition us to grasp, cling, and hold. This is how one becomes possessive, selfish, violent, emotional, fearful. They come from this personality. So because of this personality, because we believe we exist, this self-delusion, it conditions our three ego roots. So this one conditions the three ego roots. So this is greed, hatred, and delusion. The three ego roots, as the word indicate, they are the root of all evil, make a being evil. And these evil roots are responsible for your wrong thought, the arising of wrong thought. So from here, it condition wrong thought. And what are wrong thought? Wrong thought are thoughts that condition your suffering. And basically this is What they call your fear, your worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, etc. You see, all of your emotional negativity, insecurity, your selfishness, your craving, your desire, they all fall within here. So wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your negative tendency. So this is basically negative tendency. So this one, the negative tendency, are the one that condition suffering. That's why to recognize wrong thought is very easy. Whenever you have this negative tendency or emotional negative tendency, means whenever you are not happy and not peaceful, the evil roots are there, the wrong thoughts are there. So thought that condition your suffering, which are all this, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, then your selfishness, your craving, your desire, your emotional negativity, all this constitute wrong thought. So recognizing wrong thought is very important, because this one, the list is very long. Insecurity, phobia, scars of memory, everything is within here. Whatever you accumulate and hold on within your brain, your views, your opinion, your belief system, your tradition, everything is inside here. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Yeah, this negative tendency comes from your memory, your conditioning, your belief system, your tradition, your conditioning, everything that you hold on since the time you are born until now. You can be conditioned by a lot of things. The environment you are in, the education you are exposed to, the people who bring you up, your guardians, your parents, or whatever. Then you can be conditioned by the social media, the news that you read or you hear of. Then you're conditioned by the religious teaching that people teach to you, or your particular race, the tradition that you want to, because you are born into that family that hold on to that particular religious belief or racial division. So all this is what memory is all about. And our memory accumulation of all this, your phobia, your insecurity. Of course, there are also some happy moments. That's why memory, your accumulated experiences, good and bad, they are all here. But most people tend to hold on to negative memories, psychological memories. That's why they develop phobia, they develop fear, they develop insecurity. Sometimes they have panic attack. And all these are so powerful, they continue to haunt you until you develop what they call depression or depressive tendency. That's why suicidal thought, everything. Just now when we were having dinner, I think Pama Suri said they lock you up in China through movement control for 80 over days, almost 3 months. That one can make you cuckoo. And not only that, now they come out with the research, the long COVID. They also can bring about suicidal tendency to people who has long COVID. Well, long COVID is also, they recognize one of the human mental issue or problems. So understanding the Dhamma does help. It can help you understand why you become afflicted, why you become the way you are, so trapped in emotion, fear, worry, anxiety. And all these are wrong thoughts. That's why in the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha taught us to have right view, to arise the right thought, not to hold on to all this. The moment these are there, your condition, your suffering. Your what are wrong thought? Thought that condition your suffering, your misery, your insecurity, your fear, your phobia, your evil roots, the selfishness, everything. Then you become possessive, violent, aggressive, violent. Violent is a very dangerous personality. When a person is violent, he can create havoc. So just from a simple quote, unique Dhamma quote number 3, we are right here. So this one is unique Dhamma number 3 on meditation. So as a revision, remind yourself, what is meditation? Basically, to meditate is to do what? What is this word? To develop the silent mind, to be aware at the sound. That's why it's equal to the silent mind being aware. That is what meditation is all about. This is awareness-based meditation. Not to look for things, not to cling on to things, not to use the thought to actively create more thinking or verbalize or chatter inside there. Because awareness-based meditation is to develop the inner awareness, to stabilize it, leading to heedfulness. That's why it has to be done with understanding. Means when you understand what is meditation, then you can do it properly and correctly. So this understanding is very important. That's why the fourth support is relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can, then trust. Yeah. So basically, the definition revolves around all these things. From the fourth support is spin off. Then the third quote is to let you understand that to meditate, you need to use the silent mind. And this is also your true mind, Anasana. Silent means what? What do you mean by silent? It doesn't mean you don't talk that is silent. No, no silent. That one is keep quiet. Or shh, don't talk. But your mind inside there is still chattering, understand? Verbalizing, creating a lot of havoc within. That's why you cannot be silent. To be silent is not only not to talk. You have to completely without verbalization and chattering inside. Means the whole mind become quiet, silent, still. That is what sati is. When you are silent without thought, you immediately aware. The reason why you are not aware is because you create thinking. You are lost in thought. So this understanding is very, very vital, very important. And this is the pointer that you need to understand before you can do it. Otherwise, you cannot do it. That's why when you meditate, you just relax and maintain awareness. And the moment you are silent without thinking, you are already aware. So no need to do anything. That's why there is no doer inside there. That's why I always advise you, don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Because the knowing is always by the thought. The doer is always by the thought, creating thought-based verbalization, chattering, or thought-based meditation. And when thought is active, how can you be in the state of sati or mindfulness? You can't. That's why the real awareness-based meditation is the opposite of what people do. The thought-based verbalization, chattering, labeling, noting, focusing, concentration, doing, a lot of doing, like there is a meditator inside there. So who meditate? The thought meditate. How can the thought meditate to realize something that is beyond thought, beyond mind? You can't. So wake up to all this understanding so that you will not become gullible, so that you will not fall for the traditionally believed type of thought-based meditation. Then being aware of what? The silent mind being aware of what? Aware of what is going on. Means don't do anything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just being aware. Then you will understand what happened within your own form and mind. How your form and mind develop the heedless thinking. How it's conditioned into emotion. How it reacts to sense experience. How you become what you are because of the stirring of your mind based on delusion, avijja. That's why the paticca samuppada, you will see it. Because after you observe silently, then you will know what is going on within your own form and mind. Then after that, you can see the truth of paticca samuppada. And what is paticca samuppada? The first two links is avijja paccaya sankhara. So this link become very clear. Avijja paccaya sankhara. So sankhara is mental activity, mental thinking. And what is avijja? Ignorant, wrong view, lack of understanding. And the main culprit is self-delusion, sakkāditti. So when you don't understand, when you don't have right view, you develop thinking. You believe by thinking, you can solve your problem. By thinking, you can understand. But not knowing that thinking gives rise to what? Knowledge, not wisdom. So whatever you arise within your thought process is limited. It is within the field of thought. It cannot go beyond thought. And like we go through, what is thought? The pure awareness and its content. When you input the content, the spacious awareness shrink and become one small, limited space where you input the content. And that is what your thought is. And when you are preoccupied with that thought, you are like very limited within that field. Outside of it, you cannot be aware. You don't know what is going on. But because you have your other senses, that's why the other senses, when the sense data is more strong, it will imprint upon your sense basis and trigger off that respective consciousness. Then you oscillate between all your sense basis. But every one of it, you also create thought. That's why you are heedlessly lost in thought, thinking. That's sankhara sanya, oscillating inside that. Because sankhara means mental activity, mental contact with the brain. Sanya is perception. The moment you make contact with the brain perceives. Then it creates more thinking. Then your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system stir your mind. That's why this sankhara is karmic volition, mental intention. All karmic happen here. So when you saw how you become angry, fearful, emotional, unhappy, then you realize it is due to this culprit, avijja, ignorance, or mainly sakkāditti, self-delusion. Then you realize without this avijja, ignorant, all this cease to be. Then you can see clearly how the Buddha's teaching become beautiful. What did the Buddha teach? He said, Noble Eightfold Path. When you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So what is Noble Eightfold Path? The first path factor is samadhi, right view. And what is the purpose of right view? The purpose of right view is to do away with Abhijja, understand. So this one you need right view or samadhi. So when there is right view, Abhijja is no more a problem. That's why from right view, it will condition the right thinking, right sankhara activity, means right thought. Then right thought will condition right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then from there, you can arise the four right effort. Then from the four right effort, you can also develop further stability of training of mind to be mindful. Then right sati, mindfulness. And when you stabilize it, it becomes right samadhi. So the whole Noble Eightfold Path factor will fall into place. This is how the teaching comes about. So when you start to witness avijja paccaya sankhara within your own form and mind, every moment of sense experience, ignorant contact condition, feeling condition, craving, straight away, you cannot stop. So what happened is, because living being, before they are enlightened, they have this avijja, they don't have right view, so they create wrong thought. Understand? So this one, without right view, create wrong thought. Down here. Because of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And they arise because you lack the five spiritual faculties. When the five spiritual faculties are lacking, the opposite five mental hindrance arise. And when mental hindrance arise, it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot be in the meditative state. And why? It's because of the mental hindrance. And the mental hindrance is the condition for the evil roots. Because they are mental hindrance, the evil root must be there. Otherwise, the hindrance cannot be there. Because you have sakkayaditi, self-delusion. That's why it creates this problem. It gives rise to the wrong understanding, then condition living being to cling on to the five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it is real. This is what they are. That's why the personality, the ego, arise. So this personality, which is also the ego, which is also the ego, will arise. So when this ego arises, then there is this belief that I exist. That's why the I, the me, and the mind trying to own things, possess things. You try to grasp, you try to cling. And when things don't go your way, or when you don't like the other thing, then the opposite of attachment is you become, instead of selfish, possessive, you become violent, you become angry, you develop hatred, envy, jealousy, negative emotion. So all this is a result of the ego. Then when you cannot understand what is going on, you develop fear, worry, anxiety, and that is what delusion is all about. When there is doubt, there is delusion. When there is fear, there is delusion. When you don't understand, when you feel insecure, when you worry, when there is sorrow, lamentation, when you are afflicted, that is all due to delusion. Otherwise, you won't get into this entanglement. You won't be afflicted until so severe. So hopefully, with this understanding, you can understand what is going on. So when you meditate with a silent mind, because you are silent and just aware, then you can see this movement. Before you have the Dhamma understanding, the right views, you always react and stir your mind. That's why this one develops into habitual tendencies, into your conditioning, your belief system. The way you look at things, the way you perceive things. You always perceive it with your views, your opinion, your conditioning, and your belief system. Because you act according to memory. That's why you cannot act. Well, within this memory, the ego creates the personality that has the evil result, greed, hatred, and delusion. And what is greed? Basically, your selfishness, your possessiveness, your greed. So acting according to all this is acting according to the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. They're all here. Your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, phobia, scars of memory, insecurity, everything from here. They are negative tendency, negative emotion. So how can you act? This is not acting at all, because these are all the rubbish you accumulate in your brain. Even possessiveness, your craving, your grasping, your possessiveness, all this, including your fear, insecurity, all this give rise to evil karma. They have the three evil roots, born of avijja or sakkayadity. So observe clearly while you are in the form of meditation how avijja moves so fast. Then when you are in the midst of life, also silence your mind to be observant, to observe, to be aware of all this movement. Then not only avijja, paccaya sankhara. You realize the next link is sankhara paccaya vijnana. What is vijnana? Vijnana is the pure consciousness before the content go in. When you have ignorance, you create mental activity. When thing miss, you activate the brain. Understand? We always go to the brain, the forehead. So when you think, you make contact with the brain. So like the physics experiment, what happens? Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. You become conscious of your thought activity, thought process. That's why the vijnana is actually the pure consciousness. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing or in the hearing, there is only the pure seeing. So in the perceive, there is only the pure perception, understand? So in the seeing, like the Buddha said, there is only the seeing consciousness, means the pure consciousness without its content. Likewise, in the hearing, in the smell, in the taste, in the tactile, in the thought process, you can see it in your meditation, silent mind, or daily mindfulness. You can see clearly how you become what you are, how you stir, how avijja paccaya sankhara at the brain there. Then that thing make contact. Then the pure consciousness come up. At the moment of seeing, at the moment of hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. You can see them. Then how the content of consciousness go in when you are silent and mindful, you can see them. That's why the whole paticca samuppada become very clear. So avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya, the pure vijnana before the content go in. Then when you input the content, it becomes the fourth link. It conditions nama-rupa or nama-rupa. That is your five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect, the thought. And dependent on that, there must be sense basis. Otherwise, it cannot arise. That's why it's all connected. Then because there are sense basis, upon contact, not only consciousness arise, the pure vijnana, you input the content, then all the movement inside will be there. So feeling is the next one, which is one of the seven universal. That's why contact is also one of the seven universal. Then perception is also one of the seven universal. Then manasikara, attention, is also one of the seven universal. Or they call it the seven universal mental concomitant. Is the mind state that is common to all consciousness. Then of course there is what they call the jetrivena, or what we call the life force, the karmic life force and other things. So all these are the volition part. You also have the volition, the mental intention, that condition coming. So all this, you will see the paticca samuppada streaming through. And it's not one dimensional. It's multi-dimensional. That's why like NBC, it like zigzag. cross here, cross there, but it arises simultaneously. Upon contact, simultaneously, the seven universal arise. Then when you input a container of consciousness, the moral, immoral, everything, kusala, akusala, citta, all so arise. That's why it's called citta, the thought. So all these are in the teaching. And when you saw them in your daily mindfulness and your formal meditation, then you understand clearly how you function as a human being. Who are you? What are you? Then like the Buddha taught the five ascetic under Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, you will see clearly why form is impermanent, why form leads to suffering. So if it's impermanent and it leads to suffering, it's only right that you see it's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can cling onto and grasp onto and say, this form is me. Likewise, this feeling are me. Cannot be. Feeling come and go, you didn't die. Perception come and go, you didn't die. This form go the way of nature without any knowing. That's why it cannot be you. It make up of element. It goes the way of... So all this you will start to see. The five daily contemplation become clear. The teaching become clear. Then the whole mess of suffering leading to all the wrong thought, conditioned by Sakayaditi or Avijja, you start to see them, this whole movement within your brain, your memory. That's how you understand. Then after that, you realize when Avijja no more, there is right view, you see things as they are. Seeing things as they are means to have the right view, the right understanding. So here, to see things as they are. This one is very important. Means, with right view, you see things as they are, not what your mind or memory tell you. See things as they are means see truth, see the reality, that which is beyond word, beyond thought. No word, no concept, nothing. Just that pure seeing, like the newborn baby. When they see things as they are, that is your direct seeing. Without the thought. So this direct seeing is also very important. You can only see via the direct seeing means in sati. Direct seeing means see via sati, without words. So when you have all this training, you have all this understanding, you will become different. You will awaken. Then you realize this is so beautiful, this teaching. This is what the marvel of the Buddha's teaching is all about. You can put it to test. It stand up to investigation and you can awaken to it. Then when you start to understand all this, then you realize to see things as they are means thing is just the way it is. The movement, the activity, when condition is like that, things will be like that. Then you come to that great awakening and wisdom. Then you accept the reality of the moment. What is the reality? Then from there, you can deduce the world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that, it cannot be otherwise. Then every living being is the same. They are just the way they are. Because of delusion, they become what they are. That's why selfish people do selfish things. Deluded people do deluded things. Violent people with a lot of violence, hatred, anger, and envy and jealousy, they will do violent things. So, when you're able to develop this direct seeing, to see things as they are, you become beautiful. You become very wise. you no longer have problem. Means you have right perception. You don't go through memory, views, opinion, and conditioning. You see things as they are. That reality within the moment. Then you see all our activity within the universe, within the conditioned world. They are just the way they are. Cannot be otherwise. So this is what Dhamma is. That's why from one unique code, the whole teaching can surface. That's why I say these unique codes are very unique in that sense. Can follow. Yeah. So if you can follow, then I rejoice as I do to you all. So now we can maybe discuss today's session topic. Oh, exactly 9:45. So just nice. So we will open up for Q&A, question and answer. Then at the same time, if you got any meditation experience or reporting, you can report to. Yeah? Or you can also comment on what we have discussed. Then maybe share something that you find helpful, interesting, and useful.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
Mrs. Teo and all Kailan Mita.
Yeah.
Brother, 我想share一个 experience. Perhaps 跟今天你讲的 topic 是有关系的.
Ah, very good. Sadhu.
Okay. So actually, last week 我们去一个地方吃东西. Actually, 这个地方呢就比较简陋 in the sense that, you know, 它在一个 back lane alley 这样子. So
yeah.
他的 setup 就不是这样 friendly, but then Freddy choose to be there, so I have to, you know, like accept what thing is lah.
Yeah.
但是当我一坐下来的时候，我就 you know I can smell 那个 back lane 那些那个 longgang 的那个味道，不是很 friendly. Okay. So 他的 perception 就进来说，哇，有点臭。可是 当那个过后，我就 suddenly 一个 understanding 出来说，你在这个 condition 你就要接受，然后他就是 suddenly 他就 go into like silent or then I couldn't smell anything already, I couldn't really 就没有那个味道，也没有那个异味，然后我就是 when 那个 food is served, I was like, you know, having so much joy eating it, you know.
嗯，是的。
在这个时候 actually 我回来之后我才 reflect 回去刚才是怎样的一个 一个 you know like
过程，然后我就come
to understand 哦，其实这一切就是因为我们的分别心，分别心，对
the discriminative mind born of our conditioning our belief system
然后之后我就 understand
那个就是第七色 The seven consciousness.
分别心。我就come to understand 如果我们能够在那个情况下能够离开那个 phenomena 的话，其实我们有一个 understanding 就是我们不用再 suffer， 我们不用再遮我们的 mind。
对，所以这个对我来讲是一个
很好的 学习过程。
Correct.
Maybe 我这样我就心想可以 share 一下，可以给
Yeah, that is a very good sharing. Yeah. 因为好像我们以前 discuss 呢, life itself is our greatest teacher. That's why within life, 在我们的生活中或生活的 environment, 我们看得到很多佛法、四因缘法. Then all this what they call Dhamma, they manifest everywhere in the midst of life and nature. And when you are mindful, you are aware, you have the understanding, then you see the working of it. You see how living beings become the way they are. Because through understanding ourselves, we understand others, where they are also a form of mind. Before the awakening, before they have the Dhamma, they are deluded, they are heedless. They always behave using memory. They always stir their mind, create heedless thinking, deluded thinking. That's why they have a lot of wrong thought. They hardly have any right thought or wholesome thought. That's why to have the virtuous mind, to have the what they call pure mind, it's not easy. Without wisdom, they cannot arise. But most of our mind states, before we become enlightened, we don't have right view. So we will arise most of the time selfish, deluded thought or conditioned thinking. And they are mainly wrong thought. Very seldom is it a pure kind thought. Like what they call joy. Of course, normal people sometimes when things go their way, they do have joy. But that type of joy is a clinging type, a grasping type, because they manage to get what they want. So when things go your way, there is this joy born of happiness because things go your way. You got no aversion. So you cling on to it. Unknowingly, you accumulated that joy. Then next time when things don't go your way, then you become afflicted, miserable. So the Paticca Samuppada can work in both ways before you are enlightened. That's why like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. So you oscillate between sensual desire and ill will. So the sensual desire become a craving. That it become like something that you like. You crave to have it repeated. That's why the repeating of it is attachment. Where you don't understand. All these are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Like what you went through. You went to that alley, the back lane, that type of shop. Because like we know, when we are nearby, the drain that has that foul smell or whatever, that odor will be the sense data that your nose can pick up. So when we are aware, we are mindful, we were aware. When we are aware, the mind cannot stir because you are aware. Condition like that, things will be like that. You got two choices. Accept the reality because this is dependent originating, condition arising. Then we are at peace. Or you stir your mind and develop aversion towards it. Then it is a mental hindrance. You cannot be peaceful already. That's why just now you describe it very well. When you come to accept that reality and be at peace with it, no longer label it as foul smell or with aversion towards the thing that you smell, then you can become peaceful again. Then when the food is served, you can really eat with joy and understanding. That's why the mind that is mindful and aware is sensitive. Then in between as you eat, sometimes the smell will come, but no problem. You just understand because of condition, it arises. That's why it's all dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So know what you think. You want things your way, which is not nature's way, then suffering arises. That's why you will know how to be at peace, accept the reality. You can avoid, of course, you can make a choice. But if you already there, make the decision to be there, like Freddy suggested, because that place, maybe the food is good. But it comes with all these things. That's why you have to develop all those understanding. Then when you have the understanding, you become different. That's why we can step into shops that are like people don't look up upon it. Yeah? Because in the early days, I remember when I was working, there are some of my colleagues, they are used to the good life and what they call more affluent style of life. You ask him to go to the chap fan shop and eat chap fan, they don't want it. Even Vaisakai, they don't want. They say very dirty. The first word that comes out of their mouth is very dirty. Their stomach cannot take it. And it's really true. Where to him, he believes it. because he is somebody who can afford, and he's an expat. He worked for big firm before as expat overseas in UK for many years before he came back. So when he came back, he couldn't adjust. He keep on complaining. He said, "What is happening to our country?" I say, "Why?" He said, "There is no authority to control all this and many." He said, "In UK where he was expat, the place they stay, they cannot tolerate all this. Any slightest complaint, that shop will be sealed and gone." Yeah. But he said, "Over here, our society is crazy." And he happened to be with me working for a listed company. That time we were contractors and property developer. Yeah. So we were there. Then he told me, he said, "In UK, when you are an expat, you are a professional, people recognize your status and your salary scale and all those things. Then you have your standards. You go to dining at his style, like they call that area cater for you. You don't go to the slum and all those things to have the food and all those things. So there's a hierarchy. So when he in Malaysia, he cannot take it. He said, "What type of society is this?" Because he worked in a construction company. He said, "Any Tom, Dick and Harry, a subcontractor, also got the latest handphone. Then they can afford a very nice car, very nice property and all those things." He said, "All this were not possible in the developed society." And he said, "I can't fit in." Then I smile. I did not tell him, "You got two choices." If I tell him, he will argue with me. So I just smile. I say, "The society you are in and what we are here is different. We are here in Malaysia Boleh." Malaysia Boleh means anything also can. But doesn't mean I support or condone this type of thing. But society is such in Malaysia, it's like that. Understand? No? The people who can find money or make money, they really make big money, you understand? No? Which is way beyond the working group. Even you are the top hierarchy of the working class, the amount of money you make cannot be as fast as them. Understand? No? But they got their ways of making money. Oh. Sometimes they come and discuss and talk to us during the chat or whatever. Is it? He said, "Tio, you all work, how much they pay you?" He said, "1 month, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. I give you 50,000. We all one deal, a million. You listen to this type of law telling you this type of thing. Then, of course, you have to understand. I think you go ahead with the way you deal. Is it? Yours can go into the lockup if you are not careful. Then a lot of things can go wrong once you're not careful. Involve definitely illegal activity or bribery or whatever. But a lot of things in life is based on understanding, based on wisdom. You don't have the wisdom and understanding. You want to go the crooked way, which is not the official allowable way. Of course, there are a lot of ways to make money. You join the drug addict, they also make big money. The underground, they also make big money. But is that the thing that will make your life good, will make you feel good? Do you have a conscience? Do you understand life? So all this are separate things. That's why without the spiritual understanding, what we see in life, is only the surface, very superficial. And what society do, especially our present day society, just on the way here, Jin Hao also talked a lot of things about world politics and all those things, about what the West, the America, but that is the way it is. Then he also complained a bit about Malaysia. I say the consciousness will evolve and move. We only need understanding. When we understand, then there is no this and that. Then there is clarity. And I explained to him and the rest of the Karmita a little bit of what I understand. Then only they start to understand. Because when you see things superficially, when you just listen to the media, to what the social media, the news media report, then you can be deluded, gullible. You can just accept them based on what you hear or what you receive through the social media or what is popularly accepted by the public. You haven't had a higher understanding to understand the deeper things where you are not sensitive. So all this makes a big difference. If you don't have the Dhamma, all this you cannot understand. But if you have the Dhamma, like that day in the sharing, you can live within the world of Mark and the Sana and yet be above the Mark. You are not affected by the Mark and the Sana. That's why the conditioned world has its own reality. Duality exists within the existential world. There is this what they call duality. Human behavior. So when you understand all this, then you need to transcend all this mark, all this duality. Then only you can develop the wisdom to be at peace with all things, in all situations, in everything that you encounter, and to be peaceful under all circumstances and conditions. So that is the spiritual wisdom part, understanding part, which is not easy to develop. That's why the purpose of our Dhamma is to see all this, to understand all this, and to go into it. So today's sharing by Alicia is very good. It may be a simple sharing, but she brings out a very important link to what we discussed today. This is what Patijasamupada is all about. In the midst of life, it always arises. It always happens. Sometimes in our relationship with people, it also arises. And it also happens in office, at home. Sometimes within whatever activity you may be engaged in. Dhamma actually is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. So when you have the sensitivity, the mindfulness and the awareness and the understanding, then you got no issue, no problem. You can be at peace and you can actually manifest and become beautiful. Then you can resolve all things amicably, beautifully via the Dhamma way. Provided there is condition for you to manifest. Otherwise, just let things be. Well, the world is the world. Condition like that, things be like that. It has to be that way. So keep on developing all this understanding. Stabilize it. Then you become beautiful. Oh, very good, Alicia. Yeah, you can continue. Hi, Pocheng. Let Alicia finish first. Then after that, Pocheng can come in.
Pocheng, let Sister Pocheng talk first. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Pocheng, are you there?
Yes. Amitofo, Brazil, and Mr. Teo, and all Kayamitas. Yes, I actually enjoyed today's unique Dhamma code number 3. I also liked what Mr. Alicia shared about her experience with smell and how she overcome it. Rathio, I want to share about my daily mindfulness. After I came back from Cameron Highland recently. Can you hear me?
Can. Loud and clear. No problem.
Okay. I came back from Cameron Highland, and then most recently, it's about within a week, I experienced something in the midst of life. It's exactly, I mean, I don't want to say this first, maybe after that, brother can comment. But I went into a silent mind. I went into a silent mind.
Sadhu.
I went out to do my chores. I walked a distance. I was walking a distance, like maybe 100 to 150 meters, probably 5 minutes walk. I was very, very mindful walking, you know.
So
I went to the bus stop. I stopped at the bus stop stand, you know, the bus stop stand. And because this was a hilly place, so the bus stop is actually on a platform, you know. So I have to walk up a few steps. And then I find a place to stand at the bus stop. And then at the bus stop, immediately, I stand on the spot that I want to. Okay, because I want to take a bus, okay? So I stop at the spot that I stand. I stand very still. I mean, I was very still. And then my awareness ability will drop into my heart, you know.
Wow, sadhu.
So what there happened is, I see my heart beating, you know.
Yeah.
Okay? It's the pulse of life again.
Yeah, the pulse of
and
life.
And then after that, the pulse, I don't know how to describe this, but it like zoop. It like a I don't know, a flash. I can see the flash. The flash went through my body. Towards the bottom of my feet, because I was standing, brother. I wasn't sitting. I was standing. So it flushed into my feet, 2 feet. And the pulse, I can see all the pulse, you know. Rising
very
and
good.
Ceasing and rising and ceasing. And then because I was standing, my toes are all with all the sensation of rising and ceasing, rising and ceasing. Okay?
Yeah.
So it was very gentle, rising and ceasing, rising and ceasing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that it manifests into my finger, you know, into my finger.
Sadhu.
And I see the pulse magnified, you know, Bratio. Arising and ceasing, arising and ceasing, right? And all this time I was standing, having the awareness of the internal,
So
I was standing internal.
Yeah.
Okay. And after that, the awareness went up external. And it sees the surrounding, you know, because as I say, I was waiting for a bus, it sees the surrounding, you know. And it's like a flow, everything is just
Like specific phenomenal awareness.
Yes, correct. Just the pure seeing of it, things right.
Yeah.
And then after a while, Bratio, I see the awareness has a lot of clarity of what is going on. And all this happening without the thoughts, you know, just
without the thoughts.
Without words and you know, just pure awareness. And then after that, Bratio, you know what happened? Something in the awareness, I noticed something. I see. And then my hand suddenly wave, you know, wave. And I see my hand in mindfulness, awareness, in this one. The specific formula of the waving of my hand, waving of my hand, You know, after that, you know what happened again? And I mean, of course, there's a reason why I wave my hand, Brother Teo. But actually, it's not waving for my bus, you know, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
You see, I was waiting for the bus, but actually I'm waving, the hand waving, but it's not for the bus. It has the understanding, it can see things as they are. It knows what to do, you know.
It will know what to do, yes.
Yeah, it knows what to do. So actually, when I come out of the meditation, I tell you what happened, So I told you I was having this awareness of the surrounding externally, right? And I can see the trees, you know, the environment.
Yeah.
I can see the vehicles. I can see people. Then I see the bus. I see a bus coming. I see the bus, coming. And then the bus stops. And then the people alight from the bus. Okay.
Yeah.
And then after that, from a distance, I saw a woman running, you know, running. So actually, I wasn't waving for my bus, but I was waving because the people all alighted, the bus will move, is it? The bus will move. Okay, so I want to help the lady who is chasing after the bus. So my head automatically wave. And then all the time, but I was standing there, I haven't moved at all, you know, I was just a statue standing there, waving my hand, you know. Although it's a distance from the curb, actually I have to walk down to actually wave the bus to stop the bus. But I didn't. I was standing on the platform above and I was just waving my hand. But somehow the bus conductor or the driver can see it, despite nobody going to board the bus, this woman was a distance like maybe 100 to 150 meters running towards the bus to chase after the bus. So I was waving my hand, and then to stop the bus. And fortunately, the bus conductor, the driver actually waited. Waited a while, and then for a few minutes later, the lady arrived, and then the lady was at the time I wasn't moving at all. I was just like a statue standing there.
Because you are in that silent state of observation.
So I was doing that, and then the lady, the woman came to the bus, arrived at the bus, and then She, I can see that she's smiling, and then she
the joy and all this.
Have the joy, that the bus stopped for her, and I'm waving to stop the bus for her. And then after that, the lady went up the bus lah. And then after that now, after the whole thing over then I realized something has. I realized that I was in this silent mind meditative state
for a period of time. Yes.
And then, of course, that wasn't the bus that I was thinking. There, I was thinking, I still seeing my hand waving. It's so interesting.
It can happen. So, yes, Sadhu. Yeah. It's beautiful. So, it's for you to see. For you
and
to understand.
This whole incident is for me to learn. Bratio.
Yes.
How this true mind that I'm in meditative state. Silent mind and how I actually interact with the world,
that's why this is a different phase when you are able to be within your awareness nature doing all this manifestation. That is another phase of cultivation which very few people can do. So for you it's very good because it is like starting to arise to show you the possibility of sati when it's stabilized, means this silent mind, which is able to be mindful in the midst of life, they can manifest. And like you described, you can be so sensitive because the awareness can actually, like, there's a sudden shift in like awareness ability to be sensitive. So like you say, you at first reach that thing because you walk there mindfully, then you walk up the platform, then you stand there, then everything become very clear, starting with your heartbeat, everything, the pulse of life, everything. Then suddenly there's a flash. Then it goes to your brain. Then everything, the pulse, all become like very clear to you. That is what mindfulness is all about. When you are in that state of awareness, you can be very sensitive. Like I say, wherever you locate the awareness, it can detect the vibration, everything, the pulse of life. And they are moving with their own rhythm. And because you did it for quite a period, it's to let you see all this phase will come. Flow through, then let you understand. Then you will learn a lot of things. That's why I say, like what you describe, you will understand how you function as a human being, how you interact with the world. Now it's no more with the normal senses, the thought process. Now it's with the awareness within, with your true mind. So that phase is very beautiful. Later on, if you don't believe me, you look at the guy Cha Kway Teow, it's like your awareness is inside him. You can like be like him inside his body, doing all the movement and the activity. Then later on, the human being, they walk or whatever they do, you are like one with that person, all the, they call kayanupasana, internally and externally. Internally means your own action and movement, activity, like you feel your pulse, everything. Then externally, you can, like inside them, means whatever they do, your awareness is with them. Understand now. So externally means mindful of kaya, yeah, all the activity. Yeah. Then later on, not only mindful, you can even sense them, feel them, because your awareness, their wisdom, whether that person is lost in thought or what, you will know. Then whether that person is having problem, worry, anxiety, or you can sense it, or you can detect. Then if you have strong metta, you can try. You retain metta, they will stop thinking. Then they will turn around and look at you. Then they will smile. They also don't know why they smile. So all this, I tried it in the early days. And it can happen. That's why that mindfulness become very different. Your sati, your sensitivity, your ability to sense, to feel, to understand things become very different. So sadhu to you, which I, very good, sadhu.
Yes, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah,
sadhu. Actually, it was very interesting for me because it's for me to learn.
These are
the
things that will happen. Then you will go through it. Then phase by phase, you will transform. You will become different again. And as you stabilize further, more things can happen. Like last time, I remember there was one incident, I forgot it. You say, suddenly you look at your hand. Your hand disappear. You remember?
Yes, yes. It's my right hand, my skin. I was looking after my housework. I just sit on the sofa to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the pulse, brother, the pulse came out. The pulse came out first. The pulse came out. And then I just rising and seizing and rising and seizing. And then after that, it come out from my skin, you know. It come out from my hand, you know, come out from the skin. And it was coming out. Then my whole skin become alive. It's not a piece of a layer.
The
skin all become alive. It's moving. Yes. It's in a flux, in a state of flux. Moving, moving. Like, it's like in a microscope, like, you know, like
you see
all the things inside, and then after that, the whole thing just disperse and disappear. The whole hand gone.
Yes, because that is the power of perception, the pure awareness, the perception. Last time I also went through that phase before. I told you after my bath, I come down. I was fully aware, mindful, everything, so sensitive. The whatever water from the shower that comes onto my body, everything fully aware. The whole thing, everything is in a relaxed state. Then even after I finish my bath, I do up all the cleaning, everything. It was very mindful. Then when I walk, I was very mindful. Then when I reach my door outside, I have my van parked there, Toyota like his remote. I just look at it. That van disappear. Within the instant. Then after that, I feel very strange. I say, what is this? Definitely it's not hallucination. Then I look across my house, the opposite house. There was a tree there. Then when I give it a pure perception, I really look at it. Like x-ray, you know, the thing gone. Then I know. This is the deeper understanding of why form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. Because what you perceive through the consciousness is limited, understand not? But the pure mind, that's why it can see through things. The pure mind is like x-ray, it go beyond. It will defy the law of physics because this is awareness. That's why it will disappear. So you will understand the true meaning of why in the Heart Sutta is mentioned form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. And this is the deeper aspect, the more profound. People who are in that state of mind can witness that, can manifest that. So these are all nothing special. Don't be like excited over it because it comes as a byproduct. It lets you understand that the thought based on, the consciousness based on is limited. But the awareness base is different. it has a different dimension of its own. It can manifesting of its own. So all these are very beautiful. That's why sometimes people can see or perceive things that other people cannot see. Huh? Like that day you share with me at my house, I remember, when I was sharing at the retreat. You saw something beside me. You can remember?
Yeah.
You only share with me.
I saw the Kuan Yin in front of Brazil.
That's why only certain people who have that understanding and that consciousness, they can see. Well, when it manifests, it really manifests. So these are all possibility of a person who is in the state of awareness. When they have that ability to be in that state, then all this manifestation can happen. They can arise. That's why this awareness-based meditation is not something that you can believe through the thought process or like a knowledge thing. No, this one is way beyond the mundane mind. It's in a different field and scope, which is way beyond the thought process. That's why the awareness nature, our nature within, it has a lot of ability. And it has a lot of what they call transformative ability. As you go through the cultivation, the practice and all those things, then as you stabilize, all these things can manifest. Then you become very sensitive. You can know things, you can sense things, then you can be aware of many things. Then all the sign, everything, they will actually arise. Then you can understand a lot of things that is beyond the understanding of a normal conscious person with the thought process. That's why this is called the spiritual field of awareness, sati, that is beyond thought, beyond mind, and that manifestation is different. That one got no time because it's within the field of the timeless. It's not carried through memory. That one is just an awareness that is just manifesting, arising. Only the form and mind that is connected to that nature that is going through the thing can understand. That's why the Buddha said this is Pachetang. That type of wisdom, that type of Dhamma is Pachetang, can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves, and it's not for anybody else. Unless you have that wisdom, that awareness, nature, that capacity, you cannot understand all this. Because to most people, it's like fairy tale, like crazy, go like that one. No, it's not crazy. These are possibility. It's showing to you. You will go through all these phases. And it will keep on evolving, manifesting. That's why it's very beautiful. Very good, Sadhu. You can continue.
Sadhu. Yes, so actually when such thing happens, right, I contemplate a little bit. Just like I know this is a training for me to understand, to widen my training,
your understanding.
Because these are like new things to me. How I
It will keep on coming. Will keep on coming. Yeah. Then, like I said last time, if you have done it before in the past, it will flash through very fast. Otherwise, it will show you more and more until you have that understanding stabilized. Then in future, when you come, when you go through this, then it will just flash through. Then you will understand all this. Then later on, you can also guide people and share with people. That's why the cultivation is such, before you reach those phase and stage, that form and mind cannot understand one. But as you go through, you will have the understanding. Then when you have the understanding, when it's stabilized, it's in your spiritual nature. Then when in future, when you come, when you have the ability to teach and to share, like my nature now, then you can guide people where you have gone through. You have developed the cultivation and the understanding. Then in future, when you come, you will like skim through all these things. Like it come through very fast, like flashes. Then you understand, you keep on moving, transforming. And a lot of these things keep on surfacing. That's why I used to share with a lot of Kanyamitas. There are a lot of things within the spiritual field. Not until you really go through it, you cannot understand. It's too amazing and too deep understanding that can be fathomed by only the wise, that has the cultivation and the understanding. So all these are very beautiful, amazing, and wonderful when you have that condition to realize it and understand it and experience it. And this is truly beautiful. So very good. You continue, sorry.
Thank you, Radio. Yeah. So grateful to your teaching that enable me to realize what I realized, you know, up to today. In fact, when Radio taught us the spiritual nature, the karmic nature, I was full of joy. I mean, my heart was like rejoicing, and then I couldn't like hold on to it, and it just bubble out, you know, full of happiness, joy, the pity, you know.
Yes. So,
and today you share about meditation, a silent mind to aware. And it's so beautiful, you know, that you have direct seeing, you know.
Correct.
I mean, in the true mind, you have the direct seeing.
Yeah.
You do not need the mundane mind,
to give you
trouble, you know.
Yeah.
So it's so beautiful, and then I have the chance to make use of this silent mind, to interact with the world.
Because you can understand. You have realized it and you have gone through. That's why you can understand and you have a lot of joy. But this teaching, like I say, unique Dharma code, I use the word unique because it's really unique. Then when I look back, 160 something, so many, you know, that I spoke, I didn't know until Ying Bi sent it to me for my editing. Then I realized each and every one of that code, I approach it from a different direction. Then when you develop the understanding of the totality, you become very clear about this meditation, awareness-based meditation, and how to develop the understanding to link to all the essential Dhamma of the Buddha and his teaching will shine forth and become like very beautiful, amazingly beautiful, with clarity and all those things. But you need to stabilize your sati, your silent mind. You need to have the ability to see with the silent mind, the direct seeing. Then the appreciation of it become very, very different. Like a few of our Kayamita, like Alicia, Ho Cheng, MB, they all, many of them, they have the ability to appreciate this now. And the consciousness has become different, it has evolved. So this is really beautiful. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu,
sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Thank you, Bharatiya, for all your patience and wonderful teaching, you know, to all Kayamitas and including myself. Thank you very much. Sadhu, mahasadhu to
also,
you.
Sadhu. Also for your good sharing and Alicia's good share. Well, these are the things that can actually give people more faith and more understanding that all this is not only I can do, other people, even fellow Kayamita, they can also realize it and go through the transformation. So this is really very meaningful and wonderful sharing. And hopefully it can give off faith that make people very like determined to go this way. Because this is the window, like I said, the sasana is here. the condition is so conducive. You are born a human being, then you can have the causes and condition to receive the true teaching. Then what are you waiting for? Then you have the causes and condition to receive this understanding of the Bodhisattva way, to make affirmation, to develop the faith, the sincerity, and the perseverance to go this way, and to plant the seed of Bodhi deep, so that all your future life, your future coming, taken care of. Then with all the right view described to you, how to break coming obstruction, how to take the four basic vow, the miscellaneous vow, and we even came out with the transcript book. And all this taking of the vow has been developed for you all. So this is something that Kayamita should actually develop the faith, the joy, and the determination to go this way. So hopefully, yeah, with all this sharing and all this understanding, it can motivate all Kayamitas. Let us rejoice. Sadhu,
sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Bratio, can I just say one more thing encourage all Kayamitas? What Brother Teo just now emphasized, the Bodhisattva vows, I believe very strongly, and I have so much confidence and joy that actually these Bodhisattva vows bring me along, help me and guide me, support me in all my cultivation to date, you know. Otherwise, I think I won't have it so easily in this manner as well, you know.
Correct, correct. Yes.
I'll like, you know, going around, but
because of your faith,
that,
your faith actually, and the urgency you contemplate on death, maranatasati, that one push you.
Yes, that, faith, that was the initial that pushed me, but because I also took the Bodhisattva vow, it somehow helped me along as well, you know. Otherwise,
it all fall into place. Yes,
yes, yes, yes. So it really there's so much benefit. There's no harm in taking the Bodhisattva vows. That's what
correct.
I feel from my personal experience, you know.
Yes,
if you want to waste time and then have doubt, then you never step in and try it, you know, to investigate for yourself, you know.
Because
then you lose
very,
the opportunity.
Yeah, it's very clear cut. Like I said, what have you got to lose? Everything that is taught to you is beneficial to mankind, to humanity. There is nothing a person has to lose. It's just understanding it and taking the vow, Anasara. And this vow is no different from keeping your five precepts, Anasara, except now it's more strong because you are trying to develop deeper spiritual understanding to go this way, which is not the usual sainthood way. This one is the Bodhisattva way that bring forth the seed of Bodhi. Yeah. When planted sincerely with faith and determination, it will flower. It will be nurtured deep within the nature. And then when the time comes, it will manifest. That's why it will develop the movement within you. So this Bodhisattva vow is very powerful. It has its potency. That's why my nature went through, I know. That's why now I was requested by one of the great beings to share all this understanding. That's why all this become possible. So really, sadhu, thanks for the sharing again. So now we should end. I think it's already 10:34. So let us develop the what they call closing puja. Then we share merits and transfer merits to all beings. Then we will have the closing puja. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamo ditoa cirang rakan tu loka sasana hita wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabde deva anamo datu Sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo deo asatu kalina sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko emena punyam kamena mame pala samagamo sattang samagamo otu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu.